Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the 9 months and Q3 FY22 earnings conference call of Adani Ports and SEZ Limited, hosted by Spark Capital Advisors India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Bharanidhar Vijayakumar from Spark Capital Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you everyone for logging in for the 3Q FY22 and 9 months FY22 earnings conference call of Adani Ports and SEZ. From the management, we have Mr. Karan Adani, CEO and Whole Time Director, Mr. Subrat Tripathi, CEO of the Ports Vertical, Mr. Vikram Jaisinghani, CEO Logistics Vertical, Mr. Sanjay Chauhan, VP Finance, and Mr. Satya Prakash Mishra from the Investors Relations team. We would have initial remarks by the management team, post which we will open it for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, then. Welcome to the conference call to discuss the operational and financial performance of Adani Port and SEZ Limited for the quarter and 9 months ending 31st December 2021. Let me start by wishing you all a very happy new year and a great year ahead. At ECSEZ, we have laid strong foundations during the past 2 years for leapfrogging into a new growth trajectory, which is a key character of our growth story. Our strategy of expanding in the East Coast of India with a focus on higher growth regions, balancing cargo mix, expansion in the logistics business, rail transportation, and venture into warehousing echoes our transformation towards a transport utility business model. In 2021, recovering from the impact of the pandemic, global growth was higher than most people's expectation at 5.5% as per the latest World Bank report. Global inflation during the period expectedly was high due to higher liquidity and due to disruption in the supply chain. During this period, India has managed a resilient growth turnaround in spite of a severe second wave early this fiscal. We are in the midst of a third wave, but the government has shown tremendous courage to ensure balance between life and livelihood with minimum impact to economy. Now coming to APSEZ, last year I have shared with you my vision of making APSEZ the largest port company globally by 2030 and the largest transport utility in India. In the past year, we have taken concrete actions to achieve this strategy. With one port on the east coast, namely Gangavaram, and one port on the west coast, namely Dighi, added during 2021, which will provide a much-needed emphasis on diversification and growth. The under-construction port of Vizhinjam, along with the new terminal at Colombo, will work in tandem as a new transshipment hub in Southeast Asia, providing multiple options to shipping lines for their transshipment trade while adding volumes to APSEZ's cargo basket. Coming to the logistics business, to strengthen our hinterland network of logistics infrastructure for providing integrated end-to-end solution to our customers, we increased our rail rolling stock by 18% to 71 rakes, commissioned multimodal logistics park at Nagpur, and ventured into grade A warehousing and increased warehousing capacity by 108%. Let me brief you on the status of Sarguja Rail Corridor and Gangavaram Port acquisition, which was announced in the current year 2021. I am happy to inform you that the merger of SRCPL is now completed and consolidated into APSEZ financials in the 9-month FY22 result. With this, APSEZ will now consolidate all its rail assets under a single business entity, Adani Tracks Management Services Private Limited, creating a center of excellence under one entity and help create a strategic platform and considerable value for all stakeholders from day one, as it aligns with APSEZ's vision of being a leader in the transport utility space. APSEZ holds a rail portfolio of 620 kilometers. With acquisition of Sarguja Rail, which has 70 kilometers of rail line, will enable us to create a platform of owning and operating such assets. This will enable us to bid for expanding the network to reach its target of 2,000 kilometers of rail track network by 2025. By participating in PPP projects of Indian Railways and improving our hinterland reach. Coming to Gangavaram Port acquisition, process for acquisition of 100% stake of Gangavaram Port is underway. APSEZ currently holds a 41.9% stake in GPL. Balance 58.1% stake in Gangavaram Port is being acquired. The scheme of merger is now filed with NCLT and we expect the approval in next few months. In 9 months, FY22, Gangavaram Port handled cargo volume of 22.35 million metric ton, resulting in a revenue of 899 crores and an EBITDA of 598 crores, which is not consolidated. In our view, GPL will add revenue of approximately 1200 crores and EBITDA of 800 crores in FY22, which will consolidate retrospectively from 1st April 2021 after its receipt of approval from NCLT. APSEZ continues to work on ESG framework adopted by it with a focus on sustainable growth. We are working towards achieving carbon neutrality by 2025. Some actions already undertaken and are in progress include electrification of rubber-tired gantries, electrification of mobile harbor cranes, purchase of electric internal transfer vehicle, and the ongoing mangrove plantation. APSEZ has significantly enhanced its ambition for mangrove plantation beyond its earlier announced target of additional 1,000 hectares. The company is now formulating its net zero plan, which will be announced in the second half of this year. This is in line with the commitment made for the science-based target initiative. Let me now invite Subrat and Vikram, who will brief you about the operational performance of port and logistics vertical. Thereafter, I will run you through the financials.
Thank you, dear Karan Bhai. Hello, everyone on the call. Greetings on behalf of the Ports Division of APSEZ for a wonderful 2022 and ahead. Let me give you an overview of the performance of the port vertical, and I will start with the cargo volumes. APSEZ continues to outperform all India cargo volume growth, and in the first 9 months of FY22, handled a cargo volume of 212 million metric tons, a growth of 22% as against 7% growth registered by all Indian ports. Our overall cargo market share stands at 28.1%, thereby implying a market share growth of 350 basis points, whereas our container market share has grown by 189 basis points to reach 42.2%. Mundra Port grew by 8% during the period, while the APSEZ portfolio, excluding Mundra, grew by 42%. Non-Mundra ports in the portfolio, especially on the East Coast, are growing faster and have contributed 47% to the cargo basket, which is higher by 7 percentage points. Including Gangavaram Port on a pro forma basis, the number further improves to 52%. This growth is primarily due to our strategic focus on achieving East Coast-West Coast parity and diversifying cargo mix. With this, we are swiftly and steadily moving towards a balance between the West and East Coast, which improves to 69 versus 31% from 76 versus 24% earlier. Our cargo basket continues to see all India growth and constitutes 43% container, 44% dry bulk and 13% liquid cargo. Other products like LNG and LPG that we have added to our cargo basket continue to add and spur growth. Let me share segment-wise cargo data. First of all, on the container cargo, during the 9 months, ATSEZ handled a total container volume of 6.2 million TEUs, a growth of 25% compared to All India container growth of 19% on a year-on-year basis. While Mundra Port grew by 26%, Krishnapatnam Port grew by 58% with a volume of nearly 134,000 TEUs. Mundra continues to be the largest container handling port, truly the Exim Gateway of India with 4.9 million TEUs, which is 17% higher than GNPT. Our strategy of providing multiple entry and exit points by diversifying our geographic footprint, single window service to the shipping lines, integrated supply chain solutions to end customers, along with partnering huge and large shipping lines through our JVs, enables and fosters continuous gain in market share. Our efforts to strengthen the position in container segment, add newer locations, and offer unique solutions to shipping lines resulted in the addition of 8 new container services, of which 5 services were added at Mundra Port, 1 each at Hazira, Kathupalli, and Ennore ports. These will contribute 230,000 TEUs of container volume per annum. Talking about dry bulk cargo, during the 9 months of the year, the total dry bulk cargo handled was 94 million metric tons, which is a jump of 21%. With this segment, minerals grew by 46%, coking coal by 34%, and total coal volume registered a growth of 18%. To enrich and diversify our cargo basket, we have added 4 new cargo types, namely sulfur at Dahej Port, dolomite at Kathupalli Port, gypsum at Krishnapatnam Port, and LD slag or the steel plants at Dhamra Port. We have added new customers at Dhamra Port, including names in the hinterland such as Bhushan Power and Steel Limited. Krishnapatnam Port, which was acquired in FY21, continues to see the adoption of the best practices of ATSEZ. We are enhancing capacity by de-bottlenecking and mechanizing operations at a brisk pace. For the first time, limestone was handled through a mechanized conveyor, improving port productivity and efficiency, at the same time help increase margin portfolio for the product. This is a first amongst all Indian ports. During the period, we have added 12,000 square meters of covered godown to handle agri-products. We continue to add new customers at Krishnapatnam Port, and this will go a long way towards achieving the full potential of the port. Moving to liquid cargo, ATSEZ has handled liquid cargo, including crude, of 26 million metric tons, implying a growth of 22%. All liquid cargo handling ports registered double-digit growth, led by Hazira. This was led by higher volumes handled, especially at Hazira, as well as at Mundra ports. As part of a cargo diversification, we have added LPG and LNG into our portfolio. In the 9 months, ATSEZ has handled 1.2 million tons of LPG and LNG. With the rise in demand for gas products as a greener source of energy, we expect to see volume growth in this segment also. Coming to the performance in Q3 of FY22, cargo volume during the quarter saw a decline of 8 million metric tons, around 11% compared to Q3 of FY21 and handled 68 million metric tons. Cargo volume was particularly subdued on account of lower import of coal by key IPPs and lower trading coal volume, which has impacted due to higher commodity prices, disruptions in the supply chain, and insistent unpredictable rain in the southern and eastern ports of India. Of the 8 million metric ton decline in the cargo baskets, coal volume at the following ports declined by 9 million metric tons on a year-on-year basis. At Mundra, 6.4 million metric tons. At Dahej, 0.5 million metric tons. At Dhamra, 0.5 million metric tons. And at Krishnapatnam, 0.9 million metric tons. If we look at key customers on account of whom the cargo volume declined, the key names are Adani Power at 4.5 million metric tons, Tata Power at 1.5 million metric tons, Sembcorp at 0.8 million metric tons at Mundra and Krishnapatnam respectively. However, on a sequential quarter on quarter, the volume was flat. We believe that the revival of demand from coastal power plants due to increased power demand and softening of prices globally, coal volume in Q4 of FY22 will certainly improve and is already showing such signs. Now coming to the ESG performance during the period. As emphasized by Mr. Karan Adani, we march firmly and steadily towards carbon neutrality by 2025. APSEZ has scaled up its ambition for renewable electricity beyond the earlier announced 100 megawatt generation capacity. The company is now discussing the tie-up of electricity supplies from a renewable developer. We have now completed the climate risk vulnerability assessment of 13 ports to ascertain their exposure and sensitivity to changing climate so as to guide the development of an adoption plan for individual ports, particularly the ones with high sensitivity. To give you a brief about the ESG performance, as from the end of December 21, APSEZ had managed to improve its energy intensity by 31% and reduce its carbon intensity by 29% from the 2016 base levels. I am sure and confident that this performance will further improve to lead to carbon neutrality vision by 2025. Thank you. With this, I will now hand over to Vikram to update you on the logistics vertical. Over to you, Vikram. Thank you.
Thank you, Subrat. Greetings of the new year to everyone on the call. I am delighted to share that Adani Logistics Park at Nagpur was successfully commissioned in Q3 FY22. With this, we now have a strong Central India presence and have 6 multimodal logistics parks. Furthermore, the logistics park at Virochannagar, Taloja and Panipat are under development. We are working in line with our vision to become an end-to-end integrated logistics service provider in India by creating logistics infrastructure, including multimodal logistics parks, warehouses, grain silos, and complete rail solutions for container, liquid, grain, bulk, and auto cargo. Speaking about logistics operation in the past 9 months, Adani Logistics witnessed a 25% increase in rail volume as compared to last year, that is 284,477 TEUs versus 227,047 TEUs. This has been achieved despite blockade of the Kila Raipur Logistics Park, our operations at Kila Raipur, which resumed in December 21, and we are working to regain our volume in Ludhiana. GPWIS vertical continued its growth trajectory, and with new circuits added from mines to power plants, the bulk cargo transportation is gaining momentum and helped us achieve 86% growth in the 9 months FY22. During the period, Adani Logistics handled 5.7 million metric tons
against 3.08 million metric ton in 9 months of FY21. We have also commissioned 11 new rakes during that period. With that, we have 21 GPWIS rakes in our stable. We have a firm induction plan to take the total GPWIS rakes up to 25 by end of this financial year. Coming to Adani Agri Logistics, 5 projects of 250,000 metric ton capacity at Panipat, Ganauj, Damora, Darbhanga and Samastipur are under construction, each having 50,000 metric ton storage capacity, which will increase the capacity by 30%. Two of these projects will be commissioned in quarter 1 FY23, one in quarter 3 FY23 and the rest in FY24. In warehousing, our new Grade A warehousing facilities at Mumbai, Indore, Palwal, Ranoli, Kochi and Virochitnagar are under construction, totaling 4 million square feet, which will be commissioned by Q4 FY23. We are also in final stages of signing LOI with clients for 0.5 million square feet built-to-suit warehouses. Adani Logistics is on its trajectory to emerge as a leading company in Grade A warehousing with the commencement of new projects, while also focusing on strategic acquisition of warehousing assets. Alongside port business, logistics business is also successfully implementing low-carbon solution in its business segments to reduce the emission profile of its customers. All ceramic goods transport from Morbi in Gujarat are now transported through rail versus road earlier. The greenhouse gas emission reduction from this transition is estimated at over 50,000 tons in 2025, implying taking 20,000 cars off the road. Back to you, Karan.
Thank you, Subrat and Vikram. Now speaking about the financials, consolidated revenue grew by 35% year-on-year to rupees 12,089 crores in 9 months FY22. This is backed by 27% growth in port revenue, logistics revenue growth of 22%, as well as a higher SEZ and port development income. During the corresponding period, total EBITDA grew by 29% to rupees 7,428 crores. Speaking about port operations, in 9 months FY22, revenue increased by 27% year-on-year to rupees 9,706 crore. EBITDA for the same period grew by 27% year-on-year to rupees 6,876 crore, in line with the revenue increase. With Krishnapatnam Port contributing rupees 987 crores to this number. Overall port EBITDA margin stood at 71%. Speaking of the logistics business, in 9 months FY22, revenue from the logistics business stood at rupees 845 crores, a growth of 22% on account of improving container and bulk rail and terminal traffic along with improvement in rolling stock for both container and bulk cargo movement. Our efforts to diversify by adding bulk cargo, elimination of loss-making routes and operational efficiency resulted in a significant increase in EBITDA and margin. While logistics business EBITDA grew by 32% to rupees 214 crore, the EBITDA margins expanded by 179 basis points to 25% on a year-on-year basis. During these 9 months, profit before tax stood at rupees 4,776 crore and PAT stood at rupees 3,762 crore. In conclusion, as said earlier, India's story of becoming a second manufacturing hub and resumption of a virtuous cycle of investment in infrastructure, capital goods and booming consumption will lead to expected GDP growth of more than 9% in the next couple of years, giving a springboard flip to India's exim trade. We are ready to capture such growth by having a footprint in all key geographies of India's exim hub, creating a strong network of multimodal logistics parks, and owning and expanding container and bulk rolling stock to reach the customer scale will help us provide end-to-end integrated service as part of our customer-centric business model. As the supply-side disruption continues, we are integrating technology into our platform to provide tailor-made single-window solution to our customers and capture a higher wallet share of their supply chain. I'm sure with all of this, we are on right track to achieve our FY25 business growth target of reaching cargo volume of half a billion mark, growing rakes count by over 3x to 200, own railway tracks of 2,000 kilometers, implying a growth of over 200%, and build 15 MMLPs, which is 3 times the current count. Also, we have a target for warehousing capacity of 60 million square feet by FY26. With this, the tapestry of our India story will be complete. I will conclude by saying that our effort to create the largest port company globally by 2030 and the largest transport utility in India, combined with a green and sustainable future, are key pathways to value creation for all our stakeholders. With this, we can open the lines for question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Atul Tiwari from Citi. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thanks a lot. Sir, my first question is on Sarguja Rail. It is being consolidated now, you know, from FY22 onwards. So in which of the segments the numbers are there of SRPL? Port, SEZ, logistic or other?
We have consolidated the SRCPL numbers in ports.
Okay, so SRCPL is a part of the port. So, I mean, just trying to understand that why, I mean, because it's like a rail link and it is also not connected to any particular port of yours, right? So
yeah, no, so because it is not just SRCPL, because after, once this asset comes in under Adani Track, you will have assets of Dhamra, Mundra, Krishnapatnam and Dahej, which will be coming in. So you will have predominantly port, assets which are linked to port, which will be driving. So that's why we are consolidating Adani Track Management under ports.
Okay, sir. Okay. And sir, you have revised down your revenue and EBITDA, etc. guidance down for this year. What is the new volume guidance for this year?
Atul, we are not giving volume guidance because we are more focused on making sure that the financially we are reaching the numbers that what we have guided, it's a little difficult for us to give the guidance right now, keeping in mind the whole scenario what is happening.
Okay. Thanks a lot. And the support.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumit Kishore from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning and thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on container volume growth dynamics. Could you elaborate on the almost flattish growth that we saw in container volumes for Adani Port in Q3? All India growth was about 2%. I mean, typically, I know you've done better in the 9 month period, but what is the dynamics there?
Subrat, do you want to answer this one?
Yeah, I will take this. Thank you so much. See, the container growth, as we have clarified, it is not about being flattish. It's about the emergence of Mundra as the preferred exim gateway. And if you really look, Mundra at 4.9 million TEUs consolidates itself as the most preferred gateway serving the entire northwestern region of India. And therefore, volumes have been growing significantly. If you look at Mundra itself, the growth at 4.9 versus about 3.8 last year is pushing a growth of about 26%. Now, in line with the pandemic and the automobile sector being a little depressed on the southern part of India, which is the automobile hub on and off Chennai, so there have been a little depressed volumes. But if you were to pick it out from the western India, and which is truly where the Exim trade of India is conducted, we see a very strong rally in Mundra. And that is confirming also with the growth in volumes at the port, the discharges through the rail method, the growth in CFSs, and the connect that we are establishing to each of the ICTs and the CTOs in Mundra and in northwestern India. So we would like to believe that the container story is very robust, is very sound. Let me also further clarify, if you look at the nearest competitor in this region, both at JNPT as well as at Pipava, JNPT does register growth, but is now clearly behind, which means Mundra emerges ahead in the race and consolidates position. This is to clarify that container growth on an India basis may look to be flat, but our position consolidates truly ahead. That is the clarification we'd like to give.
Sure. Well, thanks, Subrat. Another question on volumes. Again, when we look at major port coal volumes for the December quarter, they were almost flat on a year-on-year basis. Versus the decline seen in Adani Ports in Q3. I know a lot of it is attributable to the Mundra thermal power plant, but still, I mean, even excluding that, there was a decline in coal volumes versus a flat outcome at major ports. I mean, what is the difference?
See, you have yourself, you know, the genesis of the answer lies in the way, as Karan Bhai guided. See, the India story of coal now is a replacement of domestic coal from the Indian mines to within the coastal movement. Whereas the Exim thermal coal, in which the dependence of the IPPs, which have been established, especially Adani and CGPL at Mundra, where we have seen declines because of these two significant reasons. One is the disruption in the cycle, the high price arbitrage being demanded in the international market, and of course, the disruptions emerging out of Indonesia, especially in Q3. Now, this coupled with the fact that the government of India's guidance is to shrink out dependence on imports and migrate to a little bit of coastal coal, especially in the eastern part, puts us in a very little piquant position. On one side, we are seeing a bouncing trade of India on the, you know, Exim volume. So Indian trade volumes are at all-time high, if you look at the guidance of government. And the Atmanirbhar and replacement, coupled with the price arbitrage and the disruptions in Southeast Asia, especially in Indonesia, has thrown the situation where cargoes in eastern India, especially at Paradeep and at Ennore, have grown. And all along, the dependence on thermal coal for the IPPs has reduced. So the story is the same throughout in India. We have been particularly hit, as I have already clarified, at Mundra in terms of Adani Power and, you know, coastal power on behalf of Tata. That's how it stands out, please.
Sure. Finally, on logistics, one question. In terms of the Q3 revenue growth of 15%, the commentary on rail volume growth, bulk volume growth has been pretty strong, warehousing capacity addition. So, I mean, how should we read the absolute revenue growth number for the quarter?
Okay, can you repeat this question, the last line?
Yes, so I mean, I meant there was a 15% revenue growth in Q3 for logistics, while rail volume growth for the quarter was up 30%, bulk volume growth up 63%. There has been warehousing capacity addition, you know, this Nagpur Logistics Park has come into the picture. So versus the volume growth numbers, the revenue growth appears a bit muted.
So I think number of actions have taken place over here. Okay. We have rejigged our rail network. We have brought in new routes, stopped our loss-making routes, okay, increased operational efficiencies, focused on train turnaround times. And all these levers have been effectively used to get the results that we have got. That's how we have achieved this result and the growth that is seen over here.
Okay, thank you so much for answering the question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Swarnim Maheshwari from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, Karan and team, and thanks for the opportunity. My first question is, when I look at Gangavaram predictions, this implies that there is a 21% growth in realizations on a YOY basis. If you can just explain what is leading to such a sharp jump in the realization?
Subrat, you want to answer this one on the cost improvement that we have done in Gangavaram?
Yeah. You see, Gangavaram, typically, we are doing a repetition of the story that has been done with each acquisition. First at Dhamra, I'd like to put a little bit of perspective so Swarnim, you get it appropriately. We acquired Dhamra. We turned it around from EBITDA levels and take it to 70% EBITDA levels, bring in efficiencies, become a magnet for attracting cargo in the hinterland. We go into Krishnapatnam, do the same repetition of what is the best skill sets of APSEZ that is focusing on efficiency, extremely good control on our financial disciplines. We turn the port around and achieve EBITDAs of beyond 75%-76% the moment we step in. In line with the same kind of philosophy that APSEZ ports believe in, we've come into Gangavaram. We turn around the efficiencies. We improve the EBITDAs. We take out the otherwise inefficiencies which are ingrained in the system. We connect with the customers appropriately. We make an outreach to rail. We get in some amount of outreach to the GPWIS rakes. We understand that Chhattisgarh, Western Odisha are deeply connected to the development of Gangavaram Port, and we provide the proper solutions to customers, namely steel plants in these two sectors, as well as the steel plant which is right in our backyard, and this is the only steel plant and a port which live in conjunction. All this means that a virtuous cycle of which APSEZ is known to normally practice brings around the Gangavaram story. We would have otherwise, I would say that if the thermal coal story would have been a little more stronger, you would have seen that Gangavaram portfolio would be exceeding even better. Notwithstanding that, efficiency of operations, better control on financial discipline, and eradicating otherwise inefficiencies which we have seen in the Indian ports but which APSEZ is distinctly different brings the story of Gangavaram, please. Thank you, Swarnim, for giving me an opportunity to tell you the APSEZ story.
Right. Got it. Thank you. Subrat, my other question is on Kattupalli. So now I think it's a third consecutive quarter of a significant volume decline, and in this quarter also, there's a 30% kind of a decline on the volumes. So if you can just explain what is actually leading to such a sharp decline and when it is expected to stabilize?
Well, thank you. The first question on stability, we will be introducing a new service very, very soon. You have seen that the international supply chains, especially in the container trade in Southeast Asia and particularly focusing on the eastern seaboard of China, have gone for massive disruptions. And the fact that the pandemic has not led to a drift in the automobile sector. Besides that, we will be adding a service in Kattupalli, and it will be my pleasure and privilege to, when we do a year-ending and come back in the Q1 of the next year, that you will be seeing an added service. But let me also clarify. I would, as we have always guided, not like to look at Kattupalli in isolation. Rather, we look at Kattupalli as in its own hinterland, competitive as it were, along with Ennore Terminal and Kattupalli, which actually reside beside each other, and also Krishnapatnam, where you would have seen we would have grown significantly at about 134,000 TEUs in this particular quarter. So if you were to look at Kattupalli and Ennore, and if you were to look at Chennai, which again has two terminals, we continue to sustain our market penetration and share of about 39%-40%. So it's not that Kattupalli in isolation gets down. Rather, the APSEZ portfolio for containers remains steady. Is that adequate? No. We want to build on, and as we clarified, a new service will be introduced in this quarter. It will be consolidated. A new service will also come into Ennore. As you have seen, coming back to the first question that Achal had asked, when we had said that the growth of containers has been flattish, but you see at Mundra, which is a driving port, where we added five services. Likewise, we have added a new service. It will start bearing fruit in the Q1 of the next year. And along with Ennore, Kattupalli, Krishnapatnam, I urge you to see this as a composite market. We retain our share, we retain our cutting edge over there. Yes, we would wish to take Kattupalli portfolio even higher. Thank you.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much. I'll get back in queue.
Thank you so much, Swarnim.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit Kumar from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. So first question is, how the containers and bulk behaving, especially in the month of January 2022? Are we seeing the bulk coming, the coal coming back, especially in Mundra? And do you see any improvement in container vis-a-vis, you know, other ports?
Coal continues to disappoint because the issues around Indonesia have not been sorted out in conclusion. The disruptions and the, you know, regulatory interventions on behalf of Indonesian governments have led to shipping line disruptions. So we are not seeing a rally that we were expecting to see, though the electricity demand as such is growing, and we were trying to, you know, kind of build ourselves into the larger growth story of electricity demand, which we are experiencing in other places. So container continues to drive. In fact, every second or third day, we have these minor records coming out of Mundra in terms of, you would have seen, we handled the, you know, the biggest vessel to ever visit India in the month of January. And that was quite an event, not necessarily about the big vessel per se, but the fact that you are a chosen terminal for such a preferred gateway and that you are able to attract as a magnet. So container volumes continue to be extremely bullish. Mundra is the magnet without a doubt. It has remained flat as such for various reasons because of the disruptions, but coal continues to disappoint. We are, however, expecting in line and in, you know, in the lap of the budget announcement yesterday and focus on infrastructure and the fact that the exim trade is also booming high, we're expecting some rally in the month of, you know, mid-February onwards. That's the kind of focus we are getting. If you were to look at the coal otherwise, that is the portfolio of, exim thermal coal, and if you were to look at otherwise into the coking coal story, that is extremely robust. And, you know, that also contributes to the shift we are having, and the parity between West and East is driven by the fact our ability to have better coking coal, the fact that India's steel production in 2021 at 118 million tons, a jump of 18%, means the driving forces of our ports in the East continues to do that. And along with the GPWIs, it is a virtuous cycle we can do. But otherwise, thermal coal in the West is disappointing, but we are expecting a rally from mid-February onwards. Containers booming, every record, every day, big vessel, better discharges, highest number of trains, and my friend Vikram has been smiling with all the efficiencies he's bringing in all to the ICDs and the fantastic turnarounds. We are having record dispatches from Mundra at the moment. Over to you.
Secondly, are you participating in the bids for the terminals in major ports, and have you won any concession agreements at Kolkata port?
Oh yes, without a doubt. Thank you for that. You know, I thought I would save it as a, you know, kind of a crowning piece at the end of the call, and I would have let Karan Bhai do the talking. We have already won a bid to develop a bulk terminal at Haldia, and that is in line with the, you know, the way that the Eastern Seaboard operates, and by all accounts, we should be receiving the formal LOI in the first week of February. As I speak to you, in about next week, we should be able to have the formal LOI with us. It's already been indicated. So one terminal in the Kolkata port complex at Haldia Dock the complex itself is already as a part of the APSZ, which means APSZ is truly, truly pan-Indian. There's no state on which we are not present. We are looking to also participate in other, terminal developments which are coming through at JNPCT, which we are very eagerly looking forward to. So also in all the other major ports, including at Paradeep for bulk cargoes, including at Kandla for the DPT for bulk and fertilizer cargoes. So as a part of the basket diversification of commodities, identification of the best commodities at the best hinterland, we are going to participate, and we are very confident, just the way we have seen our confidence materializing into a actual fructifying a tender in the Haldia dock complex. Yes, we wish to clarify and we will be participating.
So lastly, sir, are we hearing more inquiry for our lands given the PLI is picking up? Can we expect some sharp jump in revenues from ACZ in FY23?
So we are seeing a lot of traction on the land side. We are expecting land sale to happen in Q1 of next year. For one of the refineries to set up their crude oil terminals. We are also in discussions for a petrochemical plant to be set up in Mundra. And apart from that, we are seeing, as you have seen, we have signed an MOU with POSCO for a steel plant, 5 million ton steel plant in Mundra, and if everything goes through, we should be expecting that investment to come through in next 18 months. So there are a lot of inquiries which are coming, and we are very hopeful that we should be able to fast track some of our land sales, not just in Mundra but even in Hamra as well.
Understood. Thank you, sir. Best of luck.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ashish Shah from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So first question is on our volume numbers. I know you said it is difficult to give the FY22 volume number, but broadly, if I extrapolate the current numbers, it looks like we might be somewhere around 310, 315, including Gangavaram. And you said by FY25, you want to get to 500. So with this uncertainty on coal, how do you think this journey from 310, 15 odd will happen to 500 in about 3 years?
So predominantly, growth is going to come from three big commodities. One is container. Second is gas business. So that is LNG and LPG. And the third, which we expect growth to come out of, is of metal space. So whether it is bauxite, aluminum, steel products. So basically, metal is another big focus area where we do believe that a large part of volume driver will happen. As we have always said, that the coal, we are not very bullish on coal. We don't expect more than 1 or 2% growth on a CAGR basis, which includes cooking coal as well. So cooking coal and thermal coal together, we don't expect more than 1% CAGR growth over the course of next 5 years. So, but predominantly growth is going to come from these commodities.
Okay. And the 500 number is organic, right? It doesn't include any acquisitions that we might do along the way.
No, this is just organic based on whatever assets that we have.
Sure. On the capex side, while this quarter we have not given any explicit number, but given that coal is a little bit of a problem, are we looking at slowing down the capex? Can our capex numbers for this year be revised downwards as well as for 23 or something like that?
No, so most of our capex right now, which is going on, is predominantly not coal related. It is predominantly container related. So whether you take Vizhinjam port, whether it is Colombo port terminal, or whether it is expansion in Dhamra, these are not, or even the liquid tank farm expansion in Hazira. So none of this is coal related. So we don't expect capex to slow down because of coal. We expect capex to be in the range of 3,000 to 3,500 crores, even for next year.
Sure. And just the last bookkeeping question: the tax provision for this quarter seems significantly lower than what we have seen otherwise in trailing quarters. So, is there anything particular we should note?
Yeah.
Sanjay, you want to take this one?
Yes, on overall basis, our tax position in the current quarter has been lower on account of the contributions that we see coming out from non-Mundra ports because we have got ADI jurisdictions which are lower tax jurisdictions. And on annual basis, we expect, assuming no forex adjustment, an annual average tax effect of around 19% to 20%.
Okay, so for F22, after considering Gangavaram, we should have 19% to 20% sort of effective tax.
Yeah, excluding FX adjustment.
Excluding FX adjustment.
Yeah, FX adjustment gives, if there's a loss on FX, we have a better tax rate improvement because everything comes in 35% tax jurisdiction, which is Mundra. And if there's a gain, again, it is taxed at a higher rate. So if there's exchange gain, it will increase the effective tax rate. If there's an exchange loss, it just reduces the tax rate.
Got it. That's helpful. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pulkit Patni from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for taking my questions. So my first question is more near term. I mean, I understand longer term growth for containers, etc. But given that we are seeing some bit of pent-up demand now go away with where logistics costs are, shipping costs are, is there a risk that for the next 6 months, even the general import volumes in India, particularly related to containers, might see some weakness relative to what we've seen in the last, say, 18 to 24 months? That would be my question number one.
So, on a near-term basis, when I look at Exim volume for containers, we are not seeing any slowdown. As the global demand increases and keeps increasing, we don't see any change in that. Actually, we are seeing a stronger demand coming in for the next year as well. I think one thing that to keep in mind is that we do expect shipping freight to normalize. I would not say come down to the original level, but at least to come down from the peak and to normalize by October of 22. So we will continue to see. I don't see any indicators where we can see that the demand is going to slow down. And as the production in the country keeps increasing, I think the import side of import leg is going to increase in my view.
Sure. So basically next 3 to 6 months, we don't really need to worry about container volumes is what you're saying.
No, we don't need to.
Sure. My second question is on, classification of Sarguja Rail. So as you said that some of the other rail assets are also classified in port, is there a plan that at some stage as this becomes sizable, this would be carved down and moved to the logistics business, or the way we should look at it is that it would continue to be modeled within our ports business only, at least for the foreseeable future?
So today, Pulkit, even without the assets, let's say, for example, Mundra Rail asset, even it is part of Mundra Port, and even today, that revenue from that asset is considered in the port revenue. So we are not looking, that's the reason why we want to bring all rail assets under port itself. There is no plan to bring it under logistics, because most of our even the future rail infrastructure that we are looking to bid out and to build will be linked to the port. So it is very heavily dependent on how the port performance is going to be, and we would be looking at building the strategic lines which will help make our ports more competitive.
Sure, this is clear, Karan. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Paras Jain from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hey, Karan. Happy New Year. I have got three questions. And one is housekeeping, but let me get off all three together. First of all, when we talk about becoming the largest port operator by 2030,
it by default means that you have to very aggressively grow overseas. Is there any change in the strategy, or is there a strategy, or it will still be hovering around South Asia and going from Sri Lanka on one end and probably Bangladesh on the other? Secondly, on the logistics front, are we still very keen to remain a B2B player, or given the opportunities, B2C is or potentially could be one of the areas that where the investment will drive or the growth will come from? And finally, the housekeeping question is, when I look at share of profit from associates and joint venture, and your overall profit seems to be lower than your share in Gangavaram. Is it that rest of the businesses has some sort of drawdown, or I'm just getting it wrong? Thank you.
Thanks, Parash. I'll answer the first two, and I'll ask Sanjay to answer the last one. So I think when we are talking about being the largest port operator by 2030, our strategy internationally, our strategy does not change. I think we are very bullish on India, and we will be looking at increasing our footprint in India and diversifying our footprint in India, and try to connect our dots with the neighboring countries. And the eventual goal is to make India a hub, logistics hub for our neighboring countries. So I don't think so that aspect changes. And our firm belief is that if India has to grow significantly, and with the growth rates that we are talking about, the trade in the country, you can't find a better geography in this decade than India. So our international strategy does not change, keeping this in mind. To answer your second question on the logistics front, no, we are still focused on B2B. B2C, yes, you're right, it is a potential area, but it is today, as of right now in India, it is still a operational loss-making business. So I think we'll keep our eyes open for that opportunity, and as and when we do feel that there is a return to be made in that side of the business, and we would be looking at B2C as well. And but right now it is predominantly B2B business model that we are looking to build out on logistics, right?
Karan, before you go to the third question, just on the logistic front, given Vidinjam and Colombo, is the feeder service is that an opportunity, or you think that it's a broken business model and far too competitive, and you have enough supply, and therefore there is little merit to control that part of the value chain while offering service to your client?
So you're right. Feedering for us to do by ourselves between Vizindjam and Colombo really doesn't make sense. I think there are enough players in the market, and there is enough assets in the market. The way we would look at it is, if nobody is willing to take a position, we don't mind taking a position in terms of guaranteeing the load. But owning the asset and running the asset is not our core competence. So we would be staying away from it. But as I said, if a client needs it, and if nobody is willing to take a position, we don't mind taking a position by underwriting the capacity.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. That makes sense. Thank you.
Sanjay, you want to answer the last?
Hi. So on the profit pickup from associates, I'd like to clarify that there are no losses that are getting consolidated or pickup from APSEZ's point of view. The two profits that we pick up is investments in Adani Total JV, and the other profit we pick up is from Gangavaram. If you look at the Gangavaram numbers, and if you arrive at the associate, there will be a difference. Essentially, we have done a purchase price allocation. The numbers which are looking here is a standalone pure profitability. So we have 181 crores equity pickup for Gangavaram for 9 months, which is adjusted by 58 crores on account of amortization of intangibles that we identified as part of the purchase price allocation process. So there is no loss, but just an accounting adjustment.
Okay, get it. Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratik Kumar from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is regarding you would have seen that the divesting target in budget seems to have come down. So while it's not clear what will happen to Concor, what is the timeline, etc. But that in reference, do you think that adding debt and catching a balance sheet in second quarter would be too preemptive?
So, you know, we've not heard anything in terms of that Concor is not going to happen or the plans are shared. So I think we, till the time we get a firm signal that it is not happening, we are assuming that, you know, it will happen next year and we keep our plans. If, you know, and we work towards that plan of the acquisition. If for whatever reason it doesn't, or if we do feel, or if we do get a signal from the stakeholders that it is not happening, then the unwinding is, we'll start the unwinding process.
Sure. Secondly, when we say that the container segment is doing very well and Mundra is doing records, all sorts, but last year Q4 had a record in itself in terms of absolute volumes, I think on a total basis as well as Mundra. When we now look at 4Q growth, so are we looking to outgrow a very strong 35% growth which we saw in?
Well, we'll see growth in containers without a doubt. We've already said because of this little subdued kind of demand that we are seeing in the thermal coal sector for the various clarifications that we have issued, it's a little premature to take a stand at the moment. But then, yes, to come back, clearly the container growth is certainly without a doubt very, very bouncing. And the Q4 that we are looking to, you know, kind of... we should be certainly outperforming Q4 of last year. That's by the all indications. We would look to be, you know, as I clarified earlier in the call, that rally from the thermal coal, especially at the two major IPPs at Mundra, is what is going to tilt the balance. Otherwise, you know, we will be seeing, as I've already clarified, that there will be a very strong rally in the other segments, container throughout. Even in the south, we will see a revival. Yes, coal will be a little keeping fingers crossed on the thermal part of it. On the coking part of it, we are very steady. In fact, there will be growth without a doubt. By all accounts, we should be outperforming Q4 of last year, if any indications as it comes.
Seems like we lost the connection for the current participant. We move to the next question from the line of Jimit Zaveri from Ventura Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for giving me an opportunity.
Yes.
So I want to know the reason for underperformance in the Q3 in terms of the volume, where the All India cargo volume has fallen by 8%, whereas our FEFCL volume has fallen by 11%.
Well, thank you again to clarify, you know, as we said, segment-wise, we are having this mixed story. There is huge growth on the container side. There is growth on the liquid side, as we have seen. It's only on the dry, and especially on the dry, if you distinguish one particular commodity, that is Exim thermal coal into India, and particularly narrowing down, as we have given in the earlier, you know, clarified, it's at Mundra where we are seeing a little bit of downward trend, especially in coal. And if I take up, for example, if you see that APL power, which at Q3 last year, we were about close to 5 million metric tons, 5.20. This time it was only 0.71. So there's significant decrease arising out of these disruptions of the Indonesia, and that is what it has been. In Q4, as I clarified, we are hoping for a rally around the mid of February, and then we should be recovering. But to answer specifically your question, Indian cargo has dropped everywhere except the coastal for coal. Likewise, at Mundra, despite our growth, which is outperforming Mundra on a portfolio-to-portfolio basis, if you look at the thermal coal segment, it is APL and it is CGPL, both have registered close to about against 5.2 last year for APL, we have done 0.71 this year. Against 2.27 for CGPL, we have done about 0.7 for both logging close to about 86%, 68% drop. That explains why there has been a drop. But if you look at, again, let me get you back to a nine-month basis. There we see that we have been outperforming and we continue to beat the All India growth significantly, certainly. So these aberrations do happen, but on a year-to-year basis, when you look at it, the nine-month story is certainly far more robust and gives a lot of hope that the rally will be quite successful.
Okay. Second question is on the Hazira port, where we can see the Hazira port as a posture of good revenue growth as well as the good jump in the realization also. So what are the reasons for this growth in the realization, and will it be sustainable for the coming 2 to 3 years point of view?
See, Hazira, like Mundra, emerges as the gateway for container exim trade of India. Hazira, if you look at the geography of South Gujarat into the northern Maharashtra and, part of it into the Saurashtra region across the Gulf of Cambay, it's the most prosperous part of India in terms of the pharmaceutical sector. And therefore, if you look at Hazira, its entire portfolio of liquid cargo, particularly chemicals, is truly, truly the Indian port. So therefore, Hazira recording a very strong, robust liquid cargo growth. In fact, it spurs us for better capital expenditure over there, which we are going ahead, which shortly we will be also telling you subsequently. Sustains cargo growth, sustains revenue, because this is a high EBITDA margin, cargo for us. Also the fact that in and around Hazira, because of the industrialization, we are seeing record utilization of our assets over there in terms of berth availability, berth utilization, as well as berth productivity. It's my pleasure to tell you that as our utilization has improved, so also the team at Hazira has upped itself in productivity on all accounts, especially on liquids as on dry cargo, particularly cargoes like gypsum, etc. We're doing record volume. That explains the growth. That also explains the accompanying EBITDA growth that we are experiencing. And to also finish by telling you, we see this to sustain. In the next 3 or 4 years, we have a very strong reason to believe, and we are working towards that, that as with geographies, as with particular hinterlands, we will consolidate Hazira as the leading liquid cargo port of India, answering the entire needs of India in line with the manufacturing story that we want to do.
Okay. And the last question is on the impact of Omicron on the our volume in January, and when we are seeing the revival for the volume?
Omicron has absolutely no effect on our port operations or on volume. If anything, it is the regulatory and the dislocation in the Indonesian shipping cycle and the position the Indonesian government took regarding, availability of thermal coal. That is which has caused the disruption. Omicron per se has caused no disruption whatsoever in any of our ports or the logistics business for that matter.
Okay. Thank you. This is from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya from Kotak. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, everyone, and thanks for the opportunity given. I had a few questions. I'll go on with the first one. So Karan, the question I wanted to ask you was that while what you are saying imported coal will not grow from here on, and that may be a drag, there is also a positive side of it which relates to the transportation of domestic coal as well as the handling of domestic coal at ports. I wanted to hear your thoughts whether that by itself can be a meaningful boost to your report portfolio now that you have Pragya also inside.
Subrat, you want to?
Yes, thank you, Karan bhai. What I'll clarify, you see, we are already in this particular quarter, as in Q4 also, one of our key customers, NTECL, you know, a JV between NTPC and Tamil Nadu government, which is the power plant present at Chennai at Ennore, hitherto was not taking as much coal through the Dhamra port. So we are seeing sufficient volumes coming through, and in line with the government's thought that we do domestic coal production, and we are aware that domestic coal production is well established on, you know, in the eastern part, especially MCL and all. We were hitherto not a part of it, but now we believe that we have to become a part, and we are seeing that emerging very strongly. Secondly, at Krishnapatnam port, where we have two major power plants nestled along the port boundary, Sembcorp as well as APGenco, we are looking at record volumes in Q3, and we are also seeing volumes coming in Q4. Interestingly, these volumes are also happening both by what is called the rail cum sea route as well as an all-rail route into Krishnapatnam port itself. So the growth of the domestic coastal coal will happen, and the ports that will participate quite strongly, and we see that emerging, would be Dhamra, would be Gangavaram when we link it to the mines at Ib Valley, would also be APGenco at Krishnapatnam, Sembcorp at Krishnapatnam, and very recently, the south powerhouse of Andhra, which is Muddanur, has asked for a tender, and it will be routed through Krishnapatnam. So we see opportunities, and we will be participating in those opportunities. And to further clarify and to make the puzzle more clearer, which you asked, look, with Sarguja, we are linking a mine deep inside into a power utility in Rajasthan. We're also looking, wishing to do this across India. And that's the story that which Karan bhai was clarifying about SRCPL and our opportunities that we sense and clearly see in the domestic coal, you know, scenario of India per se. We will also, for example, you know, we'll be linking all these coal mines to our ports, and also from the landed coal mines to the power utilities inside the country. That's how the, you know, overall story of APSEZ will emerge, and that's how we will also function SRCPL into that.
Got that. Thanks for the answer. The second question that I had was related to just the quantum of opportunity that is coming up from the perspective of adding terminals inside India. How much can we expect to be bid out, and let's say some capacity or an investment opportunity within ports for the next 2 years or so?
See, in line with the landlord model that, you know, the government of India through the major ports desires to do, and, you know, first of the block will actually be JNPCT, which will now, you will see that JNPT will truly be a landlord with all terminals which will be run by a PPP mode, and we are looking to participate, and we are very, very, you know, kind of buoyant on that opportunity. Similarly, in all the ports, the government of India would give a guidance on giving a longer concession periods. There has been a, you know, kind of change in the stand regarding the concession agreements that will be hitherto looked into, so that it gives longer period of concession and an automatic renewal, which was hitherto not a part. Therefore, the government of India understands that A, it ought not to do its own investments within the ports, that B, it should evolve the major ports as landlords, and therefore they have come out from trusts into major port authorities, and C, that they will give a longer period of concession so that it is attractive to private capital and to build modern terminals. How does APSEZ see this opportunity? I told you about the Haldia, which we want to, you know, kind of, you want to add to the value chain, and you want to play the game in eastern India. You want to be in Gangavaram, as we have done. You want to be in Dhamra, which we are looking at a very good opportunity at Paradeep, and we have taken the opportunity at Haldia. We punch all this into one story. Likewise, Mundra, Kandla, which is Dindayal Port, we look at these opportunities to look, let's say, fertilizer if I want to pick a cargo. Here is Mundra, the fertilizer stability that Indian farmers deserve and need is answered by Mundra. Then that opportunity comes up in Kandla. We will participate as we are going to do. So each of these are good opportunities. So to sum up, Kandla, Mundra will play the fertilizer story very well. JNPT and Mundra will play the story of containers. Vizhinjam, you saw the state governments are very keen to bring about opportunities, and we're going to build what will be called a state-of-the-art terminal for transshipment. Kattupalli, in line with that, we will see that opportunity coming. Then you come to, if you come out to Dhamra and Paradeep, so we will be present in each of the geographies, in each of the ports, we will look to opportunities. And in line with the government's vision, landlordism and private capital funging in together. That's the story.
Sure. That clarifies. The third question that I had was related to a comment made related to India, let's say, becoming a logistics hub for neighboring countries. I wanted to get a sense of how far are we from kind of seeing that effect being felt a lot more meaningfully in our numbers, and just to kind of get a sense whether FY25 is a good timeline or is it more long drawn from the perspective of benefiting from it?
No, let me clarify before Karan bhai clarifies. Let me clarify the fact that the Indian peninsula with its geographical structure and the subcontinent with its arms into Bangladesh. Let me give you two things which have already emerged and have consolidated itself very strongly. Look, Bangladesh, for various reasons, cannot afford a deep port, but it is a consuming economy. It is an aspiring economy with a very good growth of GDP and steady. Since it cannot have a deep port, we play out what Karan bhai has already told you in the call, that when we become a logistics hub, we play out a story of what is called an anchor and a tenant. So at Dhamra, we are seeing that the security of the gas cargoes for Chittagong, for Mongla, and other consuming ports in Bangladesh is being provided from Dhamra. So today, we are doing what is called a ship-to-ship operation at Dhamra, and we are servicing the Bangladesh market, which otherwise cannot. So we achieve economies of scale with the call of a mother vessel at Dhamra, and we run out a feeder vessel into Bangladesh. Reverse the story. When we do this for container, we will be taking in feeder vessels from Bangladesh, getting an amalgamation to our ports, and we are already building the container terminal in Dhamra and at Gangavaram. The other story, let me tell you, is what is coming in Nepal, a landlord country, riparian, India's obligation to serve that. Today, we have already had that Vizag port is recognized through policy advocacy, government of India has recognized, and they've already permitted, hitherto only Concord was permitted in the rail services agreement to service Nepal. That has been relaxed, so we'll be looking for ALL to make inroads into the Nepal market, and with the permission to handle Nepal cargoes through all Indian ports, which the Honorable Commerce Minister has already declared should happen, we will be seeing cargoes for Nepal. So these are two concrete stories that I can give you. Further to that, I will see that, our belief, and I think Karan bhai can clarify, we will certainly clarify further, our belief is that India, with its peninsula, its geographical structure, consuming market, manufacturing hub, makes its tentacles not just to South Asia, also to the larger part of the Middle East, where we will be becoming a very important cog in running out these services, and that is how the Vizhinjam story runs out very well. So each of them becomes a fulcrum. I hope I've clarified that.
Sure. So, if Karan want to answer anything, but the way I summarize what you are saying is Dhamra and Vizhinjam can play their part in attracting cargo from both the nearby geographies as well as Middle East over a period of time. And the fact that geographically where we are placed in terms of a volume generator generating countrywide fuel consumption and whatnot, it can be a meaningful gain.
Yeah, indeed. And let me clarify, if you look India's position today in the BIMSTEC, it has been very well thought out that the new political alignment through the BIMSTEC which comes in gives a larger foray for India to play in what is the BIMSTEC market, which is also servicing landlocked countries like Bhutan, Nepal. Bhutan is coming into the portfolio very soon. And the fact that it has a very good economy around agriculture, fruit and all, which the consuming markets in the world need. And the BIMSTEC also goes into the Southeast Asian countries. So we have these multiple structures, and the BIMSTEC particularly is the logistics hub that is going to emerge certainly.
Got that. Thanks a lot for your response. Those are my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank We take the next question from the line of Harsha from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my question has been answered. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we take that as the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, participant. Yes, sir. Go ahead, sir.
No, go ahead.
Thank you, participants and investors, for participating in the call and patiently listening to management's commentary on APSEZ's 9 months and quarter three results. IR team are available for all of your further queries, so do not hesitate to write a mail or call us back. Thank you for participating once again.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Spark Capital Advisors, that concludes this conference. We thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.